Zero to Book is brought to you by Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing and sales podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
Jeff, we are fitting this episode in despite the fact that you have some challenges with a sick toddler at home, and I've had some challenges schedule-wise, but we're fitting it in because we are pros and we want to make sure that people stay up to date with what's going on in the world of this podcast, right?
That's right. This is about being, you know, going from zero to book, and we've got, you know, our dear listeners that we just can't leave at zero. So
right.
We've got to leave you at least a one or a two. And yeah, I've got a sick toddler, and I think he's thrown up on just about every piece of furniture we have. But
my gosh. Yeah.
Poor kid. We're making it happen.
Yeah, because we are glamorous authors and we have glamorous lives, so we want to make sure everybody knows all about our glamorous author lives. So I want to let you know what's going on with my book and the stage that it's at, because it's at this weird stage that every author gets to. So I'll share some of the challenges with that. You know, I was wondering if you had heard The Digital Entrepreneur. It's a different podcast on the Rainmaker FM network.
I haven't. I listened to several podcasts in the network, but not that one.
Okay. Well, it's new. It's newer, right. It's one of the newer ones. And what I love about it is they tackle kind of advanced digital marketing concepts, and they make them very easy to understand. So they're talking about things like marketing automation, which is kind of a newer thing in digital marketing, and how you can use marketing automation to create these personalized experiences for the people who land on your website. They have this one episode that I heard recently. It's called How Adaptive Websites Deliver an Exceptional Experience While Accelerating Profit. Nice long title, but yeah, it was really good. So if you get a chance, I'd love to recommend it to you and to all of our listeners. It's hosted by Jared Morris and Brian Clark, two very smart people.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and they're together in one podcast, so it's really great. So that is The Digital Entrepreneur. Highly, highly recommended. So my book. So here's where we're at. We've come to this point where I am literally like 3,000 words away from finishing the first draft.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. I am 3,000 words into my first draft. So that's that just, you know, and I think I have an actual deadline, and you have a self-imposed deadline.
It's a self-imposed deadline, but I'm being pretty strict on myself. So yeah, because at this point, I have now hired a structural editor, and that person is waiting for what will become my second draft next Monday. So a few days from today. So I have a lot to do over the next few days. But starting this afternoon, I have this mastermind retreat. It's a group of people who I've been in a mastermind group with for many years. And it turns out that it's a smaller group this year. We do this retreat every year, and it's usually five or six people. This year, there are only three of us, but all three of us are working on books. So we're having a book-themed mastermind retreat starting a little bit later today, and we're all going to be talking about our books. So I'm going to use the occasion to finish off my first draft and then to go back and look at all of the comments and the suggestions that people in the book factory have made, and I'll be applying those. And also just reading it again, because some of those chapters I wrote many, many weeks ago and I haven't looked at them. So I'll definitely be able to see them with fresh eyes, and hopefully certain things will jump out at me that I need to take care of. So I have a lot to do in the weekend ahead, but by the end of this weekend, a second draft of my as yet unnamed book should exist. So I'm excited about that.
Love that. That's fun. Cool.
Yeah. And I had this brainstorm a couple of weeks ago. Do you have domain name brainstorms? Because I do all the time.
Oh, yeah. I have this one domain name that I keep like hesitating on pulling the trigger on because it's expensive enough that if I don't do anything with it, I'm like, well, like this is a, like this pointless. But it's cheap enough that I'm like, oh, this is a really good two-word .com mashup domain name. And so I, you know, I'm of two minds of that. So I totally get that.
Yeah. I have this whole collection of domains. So I got this inspiration because one of the things that's been in the back of my mind is I'm self-publishing. So I need to create some kind of imprint name, right? I have to have some kind of imprint name that reflects the book that I'm writing and hopefully reflects some of the online presence I've already built. So the inspiration that I had was Big Brand Books. So I went ahead and grabbed that domain.
That's good.
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it's short.
BBB.
Yeah. And it totally builds on the brand that I've already built online. So, which is Big Brand System. So Big Brand Books. So I now own Big Brand Books and I have a feeling that's going to become the name of the imprint. And just so people know, if anyone listening has not yet registered to join the Book Factory, it is completely free and you can find it at bigbrandsystem.com/book-factory-join. It's a very quick registration and then you get access to everything I've written on the book so far. I will have you voting on the covers once those are ready. So there's a lot of pretty cool stuff in there. And you can basically read the book for free week by week. I'll send you another section of it and you can let me know what you think. So anyone listening who hasn't joined, I'd love to have you in there. So it's been a lot of work. One of the things that I wanted to do was to try to get this written in about 12 weeks. And it looks like I'm going to, you know, bring it in at right about 12 weeks or a couple of days over, despite lots of travel and family stuff happening and work things happening, I was able to do it. And I don't think you were on this episode, but I talked about this book that I read that really helped me to kind of parse out the work I needed to do on the book so that I could bring it in about 12 weeks. And the book was called The 12-Week Year. And that was super helpful. It just talked about taking a big project and rather than trying to spread it out over a really long period of time, finding a way to manage your time so that you could get it done in much less time. And since I had about 12 weeks that I wanted to, you know, get you and I figured out the schedule and it ended up being just about 12 weeks that I had for that first draft. So I used it and it worked pretty well. So, cool. Yeah.
Well, you've recommended that book to me before. I have to check it out.
I know. I keep talking about it, but it really made a big difference. So, and then I did use Scrivener like you recommended and set some goals inside Scrivener. And Scrivener generated this word count that I had to kind of write against. So all of those things really motivated me. And I needed that motivation because I have to tell you this, and this is going to seem strange to you because you've written so many books at this point, but one of the things that I notice is that this is the longest I've ever spent working on one single writing project. So all of my writing up until now has been, most of it anyway, has been content marketing. It hasn't been anything super long term like this. So it's been really interesting to keep my motivation high around a project that just takes this long to get finished. But it has also brought many gifts. And that's what I thought we could maybe talk about too. This whole process of writing a book, I think, really brings a set of gifts that we need to recognize and value. One thing very obvious is that it has made me a much better content marketer. And I think it's partly because I'm writing a book about content marketing. And one of the best ways that you can learn to master a topic is to try to teach it, because the process of teaching a topic forces you to really step back and analyze it and break it into its component parts so that you can then teach those. So the process of structuring the book and then writing the book has helped me to learn more about content marketing. And then frankly, I mean, honestly, writing a 1500 word blog post when I'm writing these 4000 word chapters, it's like, oh, this is a piece of cake, right? You get used to that long form, right? Yeah. And then the shorter form just seems so much easier. So that has been a real, real gift.
Yeah, I think that long form makes you better at short form, whereas short form doesn't necessarily make you a long form writer. You know what I mean by that is a lot of people who are bloggers who are used to writing 500 word snippets, when they write a book, it feels sort of disjointed because they don't necessarily understand how to create an overarching theme or arc in a book, which is, you know, really important and really hard, you know, kind of having this theme woven throughout, like you said, a 4,000 word chapter, not to mention a 40, 50, 60,000 word manuscript. But once you've done that and you go back to the 500, 600, 700 word, you know, blog post, article kind of things, you know, I think that you're able to do that much more effectively.
Absolutely. And that discipline of approaching writing that way, and well, the things that we talked about in the early episodes, having a big idea and thinking about your overarching structure and how you're going to communicate your big idea throughout, it's been a really interesting kind of discipline to learn how to do that. And it has definitely made the other writing I do much easier, much faster, too.
Yeah.
So, love that. Cool. Yeah. So I did have a question because, you know, I always have questions. So the question that I have is, you know, I'm going to self-publish this book. That was also one of our early episodes, was talking about that decision. And so I'm very devoted to this idea of self-publishing. And in the process of looking into the self-publishing processes that are out there and what has to happen, I keep coming across these companies that offer to take care of the whole thing for you. We'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to just hand it all over to us and we'll take care of it. So my inclination is to just do it myself because I know enough about some of the pieces of this puzzle that I feel like I'll be able to figure it out. So that's my plan. But I am wondering if those sort of all-inclusive companies that take care of everything for you, if they have any kind of value for certain people. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, they probably have value for somebody. I mean, that's a fair statement. I'm not generally a fan of this approach to publishing. It's typically called hybrid publishing, or I've heard people call it entrepreneurial publishing. And typically with these sorts of deals, you are either paying some sort of small fee up front, usually no more than like $1,000 to publish with them, and then they're kind of going to split royalties with you, do 50-50 on the royalties or something like that, or maybe 60-40, you know, in your favor. And so the advantage is they're going to get you out into the distribution channels that a proper publisher would do for you and give you a higher royalty rate. Like that's their selling point. The disadvantage is they're not going to pay you in advance. In some cases, you're going to have to pay to publish. And I really, honestly, I think that what they do versus what you can figure out how to do for yourself is about the same. So I think it's only... I think it's a good choice for you, Pamela, to not do this because we get to walk through the whole process and document it for the audience, you know, at least for the sake of the show. Like, I think it'll be a really cool postmortem. But I also think it'll be good for you because you are entrepreneurial, you know, and you do get marketing and you've even, you know, you used to work and, you know, you used to print things and, you know, you used to publish, you know, design and publish things. So like you know that whole process much more intimately than somebody who may be intimidated by this, you know, by the publishing world would be. So I do think it's a good fit for the writer who cannot get a traditional book deal because maybe they don't have, you know, good sized platform or whatever. And they don't want to do the work. They don't know how to do the work. They're scared to death of having to figure out how to get an ISBN number or, you know, upload their book to CreateSpace or Ingram Spark, you know, which are two of the big, you know, print on demand self-publishing outfits out there today. But if you're willing to do that and you're willing to spend a little bit of your money doing it, then I think it's I think it's better to self-publish. My approach is either go with a big publisher, get a nice big fat book advance if you can, and a lot of people cannot for a lot of reasons. You know, so if you can work with a traditional publisher and you see the benefit of doing so, getting enough money up front, then partner with them and take the lower royalty rate, because what you get in exchange for it, if it's a good deal, you know, can be worth it. You're going to get, you are going to get some marketing. You are going to get some publicity. It's, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to do a bunch of amazing things for you necessarily, but they're going to do some stuff for you. You're going to get assigned a publicist. You're going to get assigned a whole team of editors. This is one of the things that we don't consider when we talk about traditional versus self-publishing, which is that you do get to work with some really talented people. Now, as you've seen, Pamela, you can go out and find these people on the internet. You can find the editors that the freelance editors and structural editors that publishers themselves are often contracting. But, you know, like if you go with a publisher, you get all this stuff in one package and you get a really great, you know, product. So all that to say, I either go with a big publisher or I completely self-publish on my own and get an even higher royalty rate, you know, and basically get the same kind of distribution that I would get with, you know, one of these hybrid publishers.
So no hybrid. Basically, either go with a publisher or suck it up and figure it out yourself, right?
I think so. I mean, because you're talking about you're talking about the difference between, for example, paying a hybrid publisher. I know one of these companies charges $1,000 for, you know, working with a first time author, and then they're going to print your book. And I've seen the books that they publish; they don't look great. And you're going to pay $1,000 and then you're going to get a 50% royalty rate.
Right.
And, or you do it yourself, you know, and keep in mind that 50% is 50%, after, you know, they're going through their appropriate channels. And so it's not 50% of the retail price. It's 50% of whatever they're going to net.
Whatever's left over.
Yeah. Right. So it's going to, you know, they have to pay to place that and distribute it, and they have to do all that stuff just as you would have to do. So you pay $1,000 to do that. Or, what was that book? Guy Kawasaki wrote a book called Ape, author, publisher, entrepreneur, I think is what it was. And it was this idea that, you know, we live in this entrepreneurial age where authors get to where anybody can be an author and anybody can put their ideas out there in the world. And Ape was this self-published book using CreateSpace, which is an Amazon service. And Guy said, if you want to publish a great, a high-quality self-published book, he said you should budget about $3,000. And like I've done that, you know, I self-published a book few years ago now, and for the design, interior, exterior design, just, you know, the distribution, some of the marketing, you know, there were no printing costs because we were printing on demand, but all the design, all the copy editing, all that stuff, you know, it was about $2,500, and it was a great, I was really proud of it. So, if you know, like, I guess the point is, if you're going to spend $1,000, you know, to have somebody else do it for you, you might as well go all the way, completely own this. Don't share the royalties with anybody, because if the book sells well, you're going to recoup the difference, a couple $1,000s, as soon as it launches, hopefully. You know, right. I mean, if you can you sell, you know, a couple hundred copies of a $10 book, right? Because if you can do that, you're in the black.
Right. And it's funny, it goes back to this whole willingness to be a beginner again, which I think is tough for people. We get to this point in our adult lives where we're like, okay, I know how to do what I'm doing and I'm in good shape. And then this idea that you would wade into this area where you just don't know. You don't know how things work. You don't know, in this case, you don't know how to put together the team of people that you need to make something happen. It's very daunting. And again, I am glad that we're doing this podcast and we can offer this information to people so that they don't feel so lost about the process. I'm glad that my beginner situation is going to be helpful to people going forward, because there's no reason really that you have to feel that daunted by the process. If you can just put together the basic information that you need, you can get the team you need and do it yourself. But it is that willingness to just not feel completely confident about the process. You have to be willing to adapt that and not feel like, oh, I just need to hand this over to somebody who can take care of it for me, right?
Yep. Yeah, well, and they'll take care of it for you, you know, for a price. For a piece of the pie. And I love what Guy said about this in his book. He said, we shouldn't call it self-publishing anymore. That has this sort of negative stigma. And it's not really true. He says, I like thinking of it as artisanal publishing. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was a kind of a cool way of thinking about it. You know, if you think about what it means to be an artisan, right? Like, you're not some big giant corporate brand, you know, like we would never look at, I don't know, like the potter in the mountain town who's like, hand making this pottery and selling it to tourists or whatever. You know, you never look at them and go, oh, like these, like this poor guy, if only he had a giant factory. Right. You know, he could make more art. He could mass produce more art. So why do we do this with books? You know, why do we assume that like the biggest way to, you know, make print the most amount of copies and distribute it to the most amount of places is necessarily the best for you? And I mean, I think it comes down to ego. We all want to sell a million copies of a book. And I like what you said, like it's hard to be a beginner and it's hard to even just humble yourself, you know, to go, okay, like, I've got to figure this out. And I think we all still sort of in the back of our minds are waiting for somebody, in the words of Seth Godin, to come pick us to say, okay, like you're the next Stephen King or J.K. Rowling or whatever. And it doesn't really work that way anymore. You know, Stephen King wrote his first novel sitting on a dryer at the laundromat while he was a poor teacher.
Honestly, I don't think it has. And really ever worked that way. I just think it makes a good story, but
it does.
You know, the first person who has to believe in you is you.
Totally.
So, or else, you know, nobody's going to come along, and there's fairy godmother only exists in Cinderella, but it's, I think you have to just believe in your idea and believe in yourself enough that you're willing to go through that stage of not knowing until, and it doesn't last forever. That's the good news is we are not going to be able to ever do this podcast again, because after this, I'm going to know how to put together a book. So I won't ever be at zero again. And nobody is. After you've done it once, you then have a point of reference and you have some idea of what you're getting into, and you probably already have a team of people who you know you can count on. So I'm anticipating that the second book is going to be so much easier than the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it will. And it'll be harder too, because like, what was it, Socrates, who said, you know, the more you learn, the less you realize you know.
Right.
And that's true with writing. But I think it's kind of like going back to the artisanal, entrepreneurial kind of thing. It's like having a real job, which you and I both had at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then going out and starting your business. And this is hard, no matter how many books you read, no matter how many mentors you have or classes you take. Once you actually do it, there's just all this stuff. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I don't know if you have any friends that are still in the real world. But I do. And like, these people don't fully understand what I do. And that's okay.
but there's still sort of this, like you talked about glamour at the beginning of the episode. And I was texting with a friend this week who's in this job that he kind of hates, but it's a remote job. And he basically works about 5 hours a day. And he was just complaining that, you know, he wishes, like what he really wants to do is be a business owner. And he just doesn't feel like he's had, like it's the right time to do that.
Oh, he's really going to be able to continue working 5 hours a day if he becomes a business owner, right?
Like he's in this really good position. Like, mm-hmm. Like you and I think we'd both agree, like, wow, use that. And because mm-hmm. he's texting me and I'm going, dude, it's 10:30 at night. I'm exhausted because I've just worked for 12 hours.
Right.
And I'm scrubbing puke out of the carpet right now because everything is, you know, going crazy. And, I had to cancel a bunch of things today, but I had to kind of work in the margins of the day because the business doesn't stop just because my kid's sick. And I was just like, I like where I am. I love it. But this is not glamorous.
Right.
And all of this, you know, hassle is worth it. But don't rush to get here thinking like this is the easy lane because it's not. But all that to say, what I love about being an entrepreneur is the same thing that I love about being what they call a hybrid author these days, somebody who self-publishes and traditionally publishes. And I've done both. And I really encourage everybody to do both so that you understand the options that you have. So you have a job, right? But you also know what it's like to own your own business. And I don't know about you, but I love the freedom that I feel. Like now that I've done both, like if my business fails, I'm pretty confident that I could go somewhere and get a job. Although the more I listen to Brian Clark, the more I think I'm unemployable.
Unemployable, right.
But you know, like I know that I could go back and get a job right now. I have enough relationships. I have enough knowledge and expertise, you know, in certain areas that I could go find a way to make a living. And similarly, if I ever went back to work for somebody, I know I go, well, like if this doesn't work out, like I'm not stuck like a lot of people feel in a job that I can't get out of because I don't know, I don't have any other options. I can always go start something. That same freedom that you have as this like, you know, employed entrepreneur, entrepreneurial employee, however you want to think of it, is the same thing that happens when you go through this process and you learn how to self-publish. Say you go get a big, you know, 6-7-figure book deal with a big 5 publisher in New York, and say it's not everything that you thought it would be, as is the case for many authors. If you don't have this self-published experience where you have all this freedom and you figure out how to do all this stuff, you feel stuck. There's no other option. Whereas anytime I run into resistance dealing with a publisher, which happens on occasionally, I just do the math in my head and I go, is this still worth it? And at a certain point, it may not be. And when it's not worth it, I don't have to put up with this because I know how to do most of what these people are doing for me. And at the point that I can do it and make more money and reach more people and maybe even do it better, like that's the point at which I just go do it.
Yeah. It gives you lots of options.
It does. Yeah.
It's a great way to look at it. I love it's tougher in a way because you're educating yourself and you are having to kind of humble yourself to the process and realize you don't know it and you're going into it without really knowing what's going to happen on the other side. But so valuable because you really are empowering yourself with this skill set that you did not have going in. And that skill set offers you all sorts of options going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's tough in the way that, you know, anything is initially tough, but once you do it, you realize how many options you have. It's the sort of difficulty that brings freedom with it. And self-publishing is not for everyone, but if you're an author, an aspiring author, and you want to put a book out into the world and publishers aren't knocking down your door, it's certainly an option that I would consider. And if publishers are knocking on your door, I'd at least weigh the pros and cons because there are legitimate pros and cons, you know, to both sides. But in the end, you know, like provided you're not just going to publish one book like, you know, Harper Lee with To Kill a Mockingbird, I think it's worth doing both just so you understand, you really understand through that experience what it's like. Like sometimes I think like, should I go back and, work for somebody? Cause you know, at times I could probably make more money. At times I would certainly have more freedom and flexibility. And I go, well, no, like I like that that I get to make the shots, as you know, call the shots as an entrepreneur. And you know, those same questions I think apply to working with a publisher, working with a hybrid publisher, or doing your own thing as a self-published author. So there's no perfect fit for everybody, but I think it's really, really important for writers today, all kinds of writers, to understand all of the options, weigh the pros and cons, and make the best decision with the information that you have. And if you're just going, I'm too good for that, or that doesn't apply to me, that's just not true. And you're setting yourself up for probably a lot of disappointment.
Right. Love it. Well, as usual, you've been super helpful. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I just want to remind people, we love to see your reviews. So B.S. Smithy, I don't know the person's full name, but left this amazing review for this podcast talking about how he or she, I don't know the gender of the person who left this comment, but talking about how she is writing a book or has been writing a book and had kind of put it to one side, and Zero to Book has motivated him or her to pick it back up again and keep working on it. So it's so wonderful to see those kinds of comments. And I really appreciate anyone who takes the time to leave a rating and leave a review of the show. You can do that on iTunes. It takes just a moment, and we read every single one of them. They're very gratifying.
Yep. We read every single one of them because there's not that many.
we have more now than we did a few weeks ago. Yeah, we put out a call to ask people to leave reviews, and people really stepped up. But there aren't that many, and we would always love to see more. So if you have a few minutes to spare, leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Yep. Thank you, as usual, Jeff. I appreciate you fitting in the time on a busy, busy day.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure. And what I was going to say was those reviews help other people find the show. So that's, we're doing this for free just because it's a fun experience to kind of learn together and share our experiences with other people. So if you want to give us feedback, that's a great way to do it. And it's also a great way to just sort of pay the love forward. But
help somebody else find the information they need. That's very true. All right, and we will be back on the next episode. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about the editing process in the next one, because that's the next big step for this book.
Fun. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.